It's time to make disciples who make disciples.
With Church of the Savior in Worcester, here's Dr. Brent Durham with today's word from Church of the Savior.
So the Greek word encourage, here's what it may be translated as: comfort, consoling, inquiring, begging, pleading, counsel, urging, challenge. When you encourage someone, those are the things that you're doing. What about encouragement, though? There's a twofold emphasis here, okay? To comfort or reassure, to challenge or caution. To encourage someone is to comfort or challenge them with the Word of God in such a way that the person is motivated to lead the Christian life and continue in the Lord's service, whatever they're doing. It's encouraging when you see somebody, and like Scott, who's all tatted up. It's an encouragement to me when I see, like, the sons of God. They've all got the leather vests. They're bikers. But it's an encouragement to me when I see them living out their faith and actually pouring into other people. That's an encouragement to me. I love it every time you guys come. I know you can't come every week, but I'd love it if you did come every week. Here's the second thing. It's an instrument that you use, an instrument of grace, when you encourage somebody. It works out of compassion and love and care for the other person. It's not about you. You don't become an encourager so that you feel better or that you get recognition. You become an encourager because it helps the other person. That's what a difference maker does. I've got a little sign on my mirror that I read every morning. And it's about what a difference maker is. A difference maker, and my dad has told me this for a long time. Growing up, I remember him saying this. If you're a difference maker, if you want to change somebody's life, then you put their needs before yourself. You're more concerned about their success than your own success. So, who's encouraged you? This is a list of things that people that are encouragers do. They really listen. They didn't tell people that they were wrong immediately. That's an easy thing to do. It's easy to point out the flaws and everything else. We've all had discouraged people in our lives that discourage us. They don't listen. They don't take any time. They're always right. They're standing over your shoulder telling you how to do things. I mean, we've all experienced those kinds of people. Those aren't encouraging people. Those are discouraging people, and they cause a lot of anxiety. People that always had time for you, that's an encourager. People that respect you for you. And this is the one I really love. People that respected us not for doing good, but because we were just ourselves. When you are just yourself, when you are who God made you to be, that's the way we should see each other. Even lost people need to be encouraged. We'll get to it in a second. But Barnabas is one of the big encouragers of the New Testament, and his name means son of encouragement. In Acts 11, we get to know him. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This guy is not the normal guy, right? Remember, Paul has got a bad reputation. Paul has been killing Christians before he comes to Christ. Remember, Paul goes to Jerusalem, and it's always in secret to meet with a few of the disciples because everybody knows what Paul's about. Barnabas, though, he has got hair on his chest. He goes to Paul. He looks for Paul. Do you seek out people to encourage them? Do you seek out people that you know are living the Christian life? There's been a huge transformation in life, but do you reach out to them? Do you encourage them? You should. That's what an encourager does. He's a person that's sensitive to needs, and he was generous. In Acts 4, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, this is his real first introduction, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it in at the apostles' feet. This guy is totally sold out. He's totally surrendered. He's willing to give up anything and everything for the advancement of the gospel. That's something that's rare, and it's something that we all should be motivated to move towards. He's a willing person. He stands beside others. Paul, that's the big one. When he joined Paul and he brought him with him to the disciples in Acts 9. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. This is Paul, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. That's a transformation. That's a transformation. He was willing to stand beside others. Paul, he joined Paul. And then John Mark, and we learn more about him in Acts 13. He goes on a mission field with them, but he gets sort of cold feet and he missed to go home. He's missing home, and he goes, and Barnabas and Paul actually divide over this. Barnabas goes with John Mark back home, and Saul or Paul goes on. So what's another encourager? Well, before I get there, Barnabas wasn't envious. He wasn't threatened by the success of others. You know what? You see this a lot in some churches. Whenever somebody gets their stuff, they want to be a gatekeeper. They want to close things off to anybody else being involved. That's demonic. That's divisive, all right? When you don't feel threatened about things, here's what you can understand. You're more concerned about the cause of Christ than you are about getting any control need met or any attention for yourself. That's what Barnabas was about. He encouraged others to get involved. He had patience and was content to work behind the scenes. You know, all of this that went on yesterday, all of the things that we did yesterday, there was a lot of preparation going into it, a lot of prayer, but a lot of food that needed donated, a lot of food that needed cooked, people that were willing to come and clean up. That's a lot, with no recognition. Those are the people that love to work behind the scenes to make something happen. They might feel like they've got nothing to offer, but they can do that. And when you are motivated by that, that's something that God blesses. So who's another one? Moses. He was willing to let Joshua have something he did not get. Do you know what that was? He got to go into the promised land. Remember, Moses is standing and he's looking, and God has told him that Joshua is going to be the new leader. Moses, because he's disobeyed God, is not going to go into the promised land. But Joshua is going to get to take the tribe of Israel, the whole nation. He's the one that's going to lead him into the promised land. Think about that. You live a large part of your life. You do a lot of things for God, and then you have to hand it over. That's really hard. I've gone through that with my dad, following him, being the founding pastor, the senior pastor, and following him. And I can tell you, my dad's awesome. He still gets to go into the promised land. And we're not talking about West Virginia, but he has still been a vital part of our ministry. Deuteronomy 3 says this, "But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me." This is Moses. "That is enough," the Lord said. "Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. Go up to the top of some place, Pisgah, and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross the Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that they will see." So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. My dad's been one of the greatest encouragers for me since I stepped into the pulpit. Even when it's been hard times or bad times or lousy times, he's always been an encouragement. That's the kind of encouragement we all need, whether you have a good father or bad father. You still need to have that encouragement. And the one place that you can look is in Scripture. You might have had a horrible dad. And if you do, you might have some dad issues. But your Heavenly Father wants to encourage your heart. Listen to this, Psalms 138, verses 1 through 3. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart before the gods. I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called you and you answered me, you greatly emboldened me." Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? That even when things are not the easiest to praise God in, do you praise him in those moments? You might have lost somebody close to you, maybe a friend, or it might be a death, might be a divorce. It might be a loss of a job or financial issues. It might be a drug habit. It could be a porn habit. It doesn't matter. Whatever the problem is, here's what you need to remember. In those moments, give that over to the Lord. Surrender that to the Lord. Because when you do that and you begin to praise him, There is power in that. Most people don't because they feel like they can't praise God in those moments. Forget about your feelings. You know what the devil wants to do? The two big things that Satan will use in every one of our lives to attack us. He will attack your mind with doubt, and he will attack your identity. Those are the two big ones. When you just stay in your feelings, he is laughing and enjoying it. How you feel, and I'm not being dismissive, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be sad or grieve things at all. I'm not saying that at all, and I'm not dismissing it. But when you are in those moments of brokenness, those are the times when you need to praise him the most. Those are the times when God's Holy Spirit will work in your heart. He will give you a peace that's not understandable. He will give you a joy that you can't explain. He'll give you hope because of the love of Christ. These are in your bulletin, his roadblocks, your identity, your thoughts. You can't do it. Messages that you can't do that. Who do you think you are? It's not worth the effort. Why would I even try? Anybody ever have these thoughts? They don't appreciate you. Nobody likes you. Your energy gets misdirected into something. These are all things that the devil will do. You feel helpless, not important to anyone. And here's the thing, especially since COVID and with technology, there is a crisis thing is people are lonely. They lack connection. They lack family. That's why that's what our church is about. We're named after the Savior, Church of the Savior. This is a place for people to get saved and to grow into a family with the Lord. The greatest encourager on earth was Jesus. And what does he encourage us with? You see it all through the New Testament, the Gospels. He encourages us to surrender to him. Our love for him in comparison to our love for others, our love for family, can't even be measured, what he says. In Luke 9, verses 23-26 says this. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me. How many people have you heard preach that, you know, if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be a happy train? It is not going to be a happy train. We do a disservice to the gospel when we present it like that, like it's a magic thing or like God is some cosmic vending machine that you can go to whenever you want to get stuff. When you come to Jesus and you give your life to him, you give all your life. You surrender your life. So he tells us to deny ourselves, take up the cross daily and follow me. Then in verse 24, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. In verse 25, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Here's the point. And I want to encourage you with this because I'm going to have Scott come up. I want to encourage you with this. We'll do the acronym next week. The encouragement for me is when we have unity here at our church. The encouragement for me is when I see people being steadfastly devoted to loving each other. Even when somebody's being a knucklehead, and that includes me. That steadfast love is something that draws us closer and binds us together in Christ. I'm thankful and I'm encouraged when I see people getting equipped. When they start to share Jesus with others. Maturity, when you see people growing in their faith and making it more about Jesus than what they want or what they think needs to happen, and encouraging. Our church is very broad. I mean, it's a spectrum when you talk about our demographic or the people that come. It's really broad. And apparently, from other people that have told me this, we're not like other churches because we do weird stuff. And I don't think it's weird stuff. The Beast Feast, Bible School, the Stunt Show, Advent, anytime that we do something, it's always in love of Jesus, and it's to reach lost people. That's what the church should be about, not about what our reputation is in the community. Look at all the failures that I've had in my own life. Some of you know about. I don't get held back by that. I don't hold on to that baggage, those chains from the past, because when you bring those to Jesus, he changes those things. His Holy Spirit and his word transform our life into something that it never was before. Those are the things that I'm encouraged by for our body. I'm going to ask Scott to come up, and he's going to share a little bit of his testimony and a little bit about his ministry.
Well, thank you. So he's doing the good cop. I'm going to be the bad cop, right? Yes, it goes with the tattoos. But I want to thank you, first of all, for encouraging me. Encouraging my family, encouraging us. Thank you for inviting me in on yesterday. And, you know, the good news is it's all Jesus all the time, right? It really is. The best you see in me is hopefully Jesus shining through me. The best I see in this facility, the best that we saw yesterday was Jesus shining through all of us. And so the bad news is it's one or the other. Right? It's very simple. God has brought it to me in a very simple context. It's either him shining through us or not. And we know what the or not is. So Let me start off with prayer real quick. Father God, Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for this wonderful church, the pastor. I thank you for yesterday's event. I thank you for all that you've given all of us. I thank you for all those that stepped forward for the first time maybe in their lives yesterday, the ones that got baptized from young to old that came into your hands yesterday on this property. And so, Father, I just thank you for my family and my new family in this church here and for all that you do and you continue to do. And as always, Father, we all ask you to let them see you in us. Father, let them see you in us. Let us die to self. Let us come to the cross, not just on days like yesterday, but every single day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know, encouragement is something that's huge because we can either encourage each other or discourage. And Pastor, you mentioned that and such wonderful notes up there, you know. And that's as simple as it gets. The problem is the world wants to overcomplicate it. Or the world wants to think that we can do almost both at the same time, which is nonsense. It's one or the other. We wake up today. What are we going to do, people? Are we going to encourage or discourage? It starts before we even get out of bed. And I'm going to tell you, the power source to that is the first thing that comes to our mind in the morning, and that's the prayer. That is tapping into the source. Because I can say this, like, outside of Christ in me, outside of Christ in my life, I was a dead man walking. I know you guys know. I know everybody knows to a certain extent. But once again, we wake up today and we ask ourselves, what are we going to do? Whether there's thousands of people surrounding us or whether it's just our friends and our family inside, right? It's amazing because when we look at the life of God and the life of Christ and the more you learn about it, like once again, it's so simple. Yes, there's so much in this, but it's all simple. Saying over and over and over, come to me. Let them see me in you, right? The fruits of the Spirit in us is what they got to see yesterday. Beyond the stunt show. So many come up, you know, and they think they're just riding their bikes and, you know, the noise level. Like, I'm a stunt guy, man. And that was, like, so loud. I might be getting old or something, right? But it was as loud and nonstop, right? And isn't that life? Isn't that our life up here? You know, that's what I preach the most is peace and freedom up here, you know? It's the irony of riding, right? Like, you know, that was the thing I got mixed up when I was running with the devil. Like, you know, you ride to be free. Man, most of us that are riding, we're running from something. And it definitely is God, right? And unfortunately, we're running right into the devil's hands and we don't even know it. The beautiful part about when we come together as the body of Christ, like we did yesterday, is most of those people that came didn't even realize what they were coming into. But I can guarantee you this because I prayed it over and over and over, and I know this church was praying it. Let them see Jesus in this place. Let them see Jesus out there, even if they don't know what it looks like. Something was different. Something was different, right? So even like the prayer on protection, like I don't think most people realize like that was controlled chaos at its finest, right? Even me, I'm like, whoa. I was just like, okay. I went into mom mode, right? Like, I actually went into grandma mode at one point. I'm like, oh Lord, help us, right? But the beautiful part is most people thought they were coming for a stunt show, right? But the most beautiful part is what happened after the stunt show, right? And that's the message. What happens after the party is over. Everybody can, you know, get down at the party, but what happens when you get in the car? What happens when you go home? What happens when night falls? That's the question. Right? You can only ride for so long. You can only run for so long. And that's the crazy part of evangelistic events like that. Even the ones that didn't step forward, they were still listening, right? And they're still receiving a love that they don't even understand yet. Right? Like, that was different. And actually, a lot of times the world be like, man, that was, I don't know, kind of creepy, man. Everybody just was so happy and loving. And that's sad because that's what this world is almost accustomed to, right? The negativity, the discouragement, it's right at our fingertips every time we wake up. But my encouragement to you is, what are you choosing to seek when you open your eyes in the morning? Are you seeking your cell phone in the world and the garbage that comes with it? Which is all going to be discouraging, right? Are you seeking life? Thank you, Jesus. Let them see you in me. Let them feel you in me, right?
And even though there is all those stunt riding and all that, let them see your glory through those bikes. And if you all notice, we have the Beast out there. That's the loudest bike in the world, right? Come on, let's get an amen for that rusty old bike, right? God actually told me to make that bike to wake them up. Wake the sleepy up, right? I don't even know what they're missing out on. So it's just amazing how if we allow him to work through us, what can happen, right? And you're living proof of that in this beautiful facility. Thank you once again for inviting us in. And thank you, Pat, for doing what you're doing and stepping up. Because the other thing that I want to end on, although I got a lot of notes, and you did mention supper time. Like, I can go on and on talking about Jesus. You know, even when I met Pastor before, and thank you for taking the, chance on bringing me in, but he's like, you know, I'm pretty protective of my pulpit. And, you know, this is, and we just met briefly last year, but then we're in there and I got my notes. He's like, just make sure you talk about Jesus. I'm like, okay, no problem. Right? Right? Because without Jesus, I wouldn't even be here. Right? Without Jesus, none of us would be here. It's the beautiful story of encouragement. In the notes, like, man, the scriptures. I knew I was in the right seat. You know, I teach classes in a lot of the prisons around Ohio. And, let me end on this story. Just how a little bit of encouragement powered by the Holy Spirit in us, in our ministry. And this isn't about me. It's about this facility. It's about what happened yesterday. And anybody that was around when we did the call for Christ after or before our final stunt show, was anybody out there over in the parking lot by us, right? Did you see the first person to come up? He was this tall, a little blonde-haired boy, right? And this is not about even our ministry. It's not about me, but it's about God and the power that he wants to give to us. If we ask, he will fill us with it. That little boy come running up, and I didn't even know, you know, I saw dad behind whatever. He actually had to lift him over the barrier, and this kid just come running up. And then it kind of opens the floodgate, right? Whenever you do a call for Christ in public, there's a, you know, I'm holding my breath. People don't know. I'm like, oh, please, someone just step up. You know what I mean? It might be an embarrassing moment, like no one steps up, but someone always does. Last night was this little blonde-haired boy and came over the barrier, and then a bunch of people started coming forward. We did the fresh start prayer, and then later on, the boy's dad came up and said, I had met him at Lake Erie Correctional 2 years ago in that yard. What do we do in the yard? The same thing we did out here. What do we pray before we went in that yard? God, use us. Use us to get to the sick and suffering. Let them see you in us. Let heaven on earth come down in this yard, and the men that are broken and dying come into your hands today. He came into God's hands in that prison yard 2 years ago. And then his son jumped over the fence and said, that's the Jesus we always talk about? You know what they do on Friday and Saturday nights? They work on motorcycles, and the dad talks to him about Jesus while they're working on bikes. And what that little kid did last night was had his dad say, that's the same Jesus? The one I love? He's like, yeah. Puts him over the fence. He comes running forward to receive Christ. A little bit of kindness, a little bit of encouragement goes so far, so far. We won't even see how far it goes, right? Thank you so much once again. Thank you guys for coming beside me. Thank you guys for encouraging us. I love you. Thank you.
I had prayed about him coming, and I didn't know a lot about him. See, he was a star boy. How many of you remember those guys? All the bikers. Okay, nobody else does. Well, I remember, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, I remember being on 71, and I think at that time I had my little Toyota truck. And I did not see these guys coming, but there were seven or eight of them that came by, flying by. And I mean, they were really traveling. Like, you ever get a jolt like that when somebody flies by you? My mother experiences it every time she gets in the car with Dad. But when Pat and Jeremy told me about him, I'm thinking that's the same group of guys. How's that going to go? Well, he came to Christ, so it's got to be dramatic change like it was for Paul. And we need to praise the Lord for that. But as we go out today, there might be somebody here that needs to make a commitment to Christ, or you need to give something over to him. Because here's the thing. You make a commitment to Christ, you're justified. We've been talking about this for a couple months. When you come to Christ and you give him your life, you're justified. After that comes sanctification. That's a big word, and all it means is you are now in the process of becoming like Jesus daily. On a moment-to-moment basis, you are giving yourself over to him. You're giving him, there's going to be stuff that happens this year that I will have to give over to the Lord when I get to it, because I don't know it's coming. Things that could be bad, things that could be good, whatever. All of us will have to surrender those things over to the Lord in the moment, and that's how sanctification works. That's the process. So it's not just a one and done thing. I mean, if you weren't here yesterday, take a look at his trailer. It's out there? No? Okay. Then don't. But we'll look him up on YouTube or on Facebook. I'm sure you're on Instagram. You got kids. Look him up on that and watch how his ministry is going. Because it was a great day yesterday. It was a great day. This is Pat.
Hi. How are you doing? So I was just sitting here and I had, you know, a message come on my brain that I feel like I had to say. It was kind of about the journey with the stunt show in the church. Like I said, I did a little bit of the testimony yesterday, if you guys heard it. If not, I'm just going to do a little brief description of it. 3 years ago, I was looking for places to ride stunt bikes at, constantly getting kicked out of places around here in Worcester from the police. Nobody wanted me to let me ride, forcing me to go out on the streets and ride and get in trouble by my mom. Always had to hide the Facebook post when I was putting street videos on because she'd yell at me. But I didn't say that, did I? Anyway, so 3 years ago, Jeremy hit me up and said, hey, you want to try to do a stunt show here? I'm like, yeah. At that time, for me, it was about having somewhere to ride. You know, I've had Christ in my life throughout my whole childhood, but he's never been like have a good solid hold on me. So like I said, 3 years ago, it was all about me having somewhere to ride my bike. I was still a good person. I still cared for people, but at that time, it's me wanting to find to do stunt shows and somewhere to ride my bike, like I said four times now. Anyway, this year, I realized something. Or last year, actually. Last year when I brought Scott back to, we did the service, and I'm going to introduce you to Scott. I had something come on my mind. At that point, it was just about, I've been riding for Scott for, what, 4 years now? That's a different story. I felt a little bit of conviction in my heart about not inviting Scott to do this. For me, it was about, oh, I don't want this to be a ride for life thing. I want this to be about me. Completely wrong. For not inviting Scott was just delaying the fact of helping some people get help. And this year, by having Scott here, I think this event is complete. I think it's a new start for next year if Pastor lets us do it.
Thank you for listening to this week's word from Dr. Brent Durham and Church of the Savior.
The church is at 480 Fry Road at Route 30 in Worcester. You can find out more about their mission to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples online at coswooster.com.
Or at COS Worcester, Ohio on Facebook.
Their number is 330-264-5233.
This program has been provided by Church of the Savior in Worcester, Ohio.